The time is 8:10. The language of diplomacy can create a misleading impression of reality. When the United Nations talks about Syria, as it has been doing this weekend, the vocabulary is full of political solutions, working with friends of democracy, redoubling our efforts for a better future. The reality is corpses on the street, children mutilated by exploding shells, the fear of a full-scale civil war that could make the thousands dead already look modest. It is not easy to report from Syria, but we've had a flavour of that reality from our correspondent Paul Wood, who has been in the city of Homs, where the rebellion against the autocratic regime of President Assad is at its most fierce. Here is his latest dispatch.
At the makeshift clinic, the body of a 7-year-old girl was being carefully wrapped in a white sheet, ready for burial. She'd been at home when a mortar bomb came through the roof, killing her and wounding her mother and sister. There was a moment of quiet as they took her away, but by mid-morning in this part of Homs, the bombs were falling steadily, about a minute apart. A teenage boy was brought in with horrific injuries, most of his face gone. They didn't know if he would make it. Burials are taking place at night, they told us. There was too much danger from snipers to hold funerals in the day. In the corridor, a woman was screaming. Her only son had just been brought in on a stretcher, his left foot severed by a blast. She was hysterical, but not incoherent. "Give us guns. We can't defend ourselves," she shouted, before someone led her away. Most of the injured we saw were civilians, and many were children. We did see two fighters at the clinic, one dead, one injured. Anyway, the fighters have only Kalashnikovs against the heavy weapons possessed by the security forces. Towards the end of the bombardment, along with the mortars, we also heard the distinctive whistle of heavy artillery. As I write this, there seems to be a pause, but after a whole morning of shelling, people in the streets were jumpy, running for cover at the slightest sound.
Firing at us, right?
Yep.
One woman told me she never let her children out in the street at all. Aged 7 and 5, they followed her around the house, crying when there was an explosion. All day long, the mosques have kept up a repetitive cry of God is great to announce each fresh martyr, as they call the dead. There is fury against Russia and China for vetoing the UN Security Council resolution. Most people feel very alone, abandoned by the outside world, and expecting the worst from a regime they fear is now able to act without restraint.
Well, that pause did not last long. The bombardment picked up again has been continuing throughout the night and indeed this morning. We managed to get through to Paul Wood. Not easy, because as we were trying to make contact, there were mortar bombs exploding and machine gun fire rattling around him. What's been happening overnight, Paul?
It was a quiet night until just after dawn, when at 6 a.m. we started hearing mortars falling about, I would think, one every 30 seconds. That's been going on and off for the past 2 hours. And also some heavier artillery has been used. We were told by local people it was multiple launch rocket systems, though we've got no way of telling if that is in fact the case. People have now gone out onto their balconies during a brief lull to shout, God is great. We also had quite a lot of small arms fire from rebel fighters, the Free Army, as they call themselves. That, I think, is a pretty futile gesture. It is Kalashnikovs against heavy weapons, against big guns. And most people have just been getting inside, hiding in the stairwells and trying to put as much concrete between them and the street as possible.
How much more of this can they take?
They don't have a choice, really. There's very little they can do. I spoke to the Free Army commander last night here, as they call themselves, the Free Army, and they have been trying to attack government checkpoints on the periphery of this part of Homs, but it really is absolutely futile when the government has tanks, armoured vehicles and heavy weapons. We're hearing a report this morning, not confirmed, but from an eyewitness who says that government troops have been moving up to the outskirts of this part of Homs, not armoured vehicles or tanks, but infantry, ground troops. And it's not, they haven't yet gone through the first rebel checkpoint, the Free Army checkpoint, so it is not yet an invasion, but clearly that is what people fear, and it's what they fear is going to happen over the next day or so.
I have to say, you sound remarkably calm, given the number of explosions we've been hearing while we've been trying to talk to you and during this conversation. It is incredibly dangerous there, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure I sound all that calm, but thank you. We've heard already that at least 10 people have been killed, although I think that it will be many more than that. They are still picking up the bodies, or more accurately, the body parts off the streets here. While it was happening, people were telling us they are deliberately targeting the clinic, the field clinic here. We have now heard a claim also that the field clinic has taken a direct hit. I don't know whether that is true, but yesterday we were at the clinic, and while we were there, the shells and the mortars were falling really either side of the clinic. So whether or not that building where they are treating people, that medical facility, is being deliberately targeted, certainly a lot of heavy artillery is falling close to it, and the claim this morning is that it's taken a hit.
Paul, diplomats talk about the danger of civil war in Syria. To listen to your reports and to see them on television, the impression you get is that civil war is happening in Syria.
Well, remember that we are in one place. We're in the city of Homs, which is the most divided city, the city with the most sectarian tensions in the whole country. But certainly we came in smuggled by rebel fighters from Lebanon. And as soon as we were over the border, we were with a unit of the Free Army, as it describes itself. And they carried out a pretty big attack. They said it was more than 100 men. I certainly counted 60 against a Syrian army base. Now, that attack failed in the end. Once again, they had Kalashnikovs and a few rocket-propelled grenades. And when armoured vehicles and, according to the Free Army, tanks were brought up against them, that's when they had to literally run. So it looked like a civil war there, and it looks like a civil war from this particular balcony in Homs. It's not yet that in the whole country, but clearly that is the danger. And the danger, additionally, is of a sectarian conflict, because I'm in the Sunni area of Homs. There are people from all sects, Christians and Alawites, who support the revolution. But here in this part of Homs, it is Sunnis against government forces, which are largely from other denominations.
What difference would it make if the rebels were to be armed by outside countries? Would that fundamentally change the situation? Could that bring down the regime?
What you're hearing now is a bit of small arms fire, which could be a futile gesture by the rebel fighters. It could mean that the Syrian army is coming closer. We were told they are now about 1 kilometre away. Whether they intend to move in here or not, I simply don't know. As to your question, the Sunnis are the majority here, 75% to 80%. And one of the men who's leading the armed struggle here in this part of Homs told me that if people would only arm them, they could finish this very quickly. That is one point of view, but it is also the case, I believe, that President Assad still has significant support, including from some Sunnis. There are Sunnis who are members of the armed forces. What the Free Army leadership and the Syrian National Council, the main opposition group, are asking for in the first place is a no-fly zone to protect a safe area in the north of the country. That is both to enable people in places like this to go somewhere that will be safe, but they also believe it will encourage very quickly big defections in the army. If people who have whole battalions, whole units, can get on the road with their armoured vehicles without being bombed by the Syrian Air Force, it is claimed, then big army defections will begin, and that, the opposition hope, would be the beginning of the end of the regime. But we're a long, long way from that. There is no appetite for international intervention, and everybody in this part of Homs that I'm with feels abandoned, feels that the UN Security Council vote means that the regime now believes that it can act absolutely without restraint.
Paul, thank you very much indeed. And we will obviously be trying to keep in touch with Paul throughout the programme, indeed throughout the day, and we'll let you know if the situation there changes.